Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Hello, sir.
Yeah, I'm doing good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. We're heading out to Monterey Car Week next week, and I believe you're going to Roadkill?
We'll see. Everything's a fluid situation, but of right this second, I'm like 50-50.
Okay,
you know, the car is still not finished. I'm not going to race. Whether I can get it there or not, whether I can get there or not, I mean, we'll see. But it's obviously something that I need to be at after 2 years of not being around. You know, Roadkill, everybody's jonesing for it.
It's kind of a tough time between like new COVID restrictions and you're right, car not ready, and you've got to wrestle the week after. There's a lot going on. And speaking of,
hey Vince, I want to drive 150 down Woodward Avenue in a car that I've never driven before, twin turbo with 1400 horsepower. Can I get your blessing?
Yeah, right. Right, and then I'll see you next week if everything goes well.
Exactly.
If everything goes well. Speaking of wrestling, I saw Gage's debut. I saw Gage ringside, and MVP, I guess, was calling him out. MVP, for you guys aren't regular watchers, MVP is one of the manager, is the manager of Bobby Lashley, who's Bill's opponent at SummerSlam, and Gage was ringside, and he's not the little tiny Gage Goldberg that he used to be.
I saw Goldberg trending on Twitter, so I click it, and it's all about Gage.
It's all Gage. WWE social media is blowing up. They're like, Gage is not a little kid anymore.
Yeah, just a bunch of before and afters.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll see it on WWE's maybe Instagram. You'll find it, and you'll see Bill come out in school MVP for going face to face, going beak to beak with Gage.
You can't get near my son, man. You can't do that.
By the way, I'm pretty sure, like, that was a good spear, but I'm pretty sure Gage can handle himself.
Yes, then there's that. Yes, most definitely. But you know, that's it was 2-on-1. I had to come to his rescue.
it's a fantastic clip. So I'm hoping I get to see everybody, Gage and Wanda and everybody when we go out there. But do you know if everybody's going to make it? I know it's always.
Yeah, Gage has got a scrimmage on Thursday evening, and then we take a plane, you know, 6 a.m., the three of us out to Vegas.
Okay, it's good that everyone's going. I never know always if Wanda can go because she has a ranch of wild animals. She has a zoo over there, and it's tough to leave the property, right? I don't think she's left the property in a year and a half other than when you guys went to UFC or baseball or something like that, right?
Yeah, we'd go to you heard the story about we traveled to the last three you know, tournaments he has during the weekend in Houston and Austin, Waco, and we took an Impala with us. It wasn't a four-door Impala. It wasn't an Impala with four wheels. It was an Impala with four legs.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we're going to have a good show today. We're going to finally get into all the bits about what we've been clamoring for regarding the SEMA show, everything about SEMA. We've got Mike Spagnuolo. Mike Spagnuolo's here. Mike's been
about ready for the Spanish Inquisition.
Mike and I have known each other for many years now. He's a vice president of OEM and product development programs at SEMA. He runs SEMA Garage, but he's well versed in all things SEMA organization. So, we're going to get into We're going to get into that a little bit. So, but before we get started, I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Good Guys. The Good Guys Rod and Custom Association is coming to Spokane, Washington for the 19th CPP Great Northwest Nationals. It's the Spokane County Fair and Expo Center. It's on August 13th through 15th. So if you can't make it to Roadkill, you can't make it to Monterey Car Week, this is a fantastic event you want to go to. These Good Guys shows are just getting bigger and bigger, it seems like, every year. There's over 1,500 classic cars and trucks on display and an indoor exhibit. There's a burnout competition, vintage dragster exhibition as well. Those are fantastic to see. You're going to love those. Bring the whole family. There's live entertainment. There's a kids zone. There's a pinstripers brush bash. There's the model car display, the pedal car display. All you got to do is go to goodguys.com. It's good-guys.com. It's free admission for a kid for kids six and under. But if you use the CarCast code, use promo code CarCast, you get $5 off your spectator ticket. So it's goodguys.com. Use promo code CarCast.
All right. I'm dying over here, guys. They got me hooked up to an IV. I'm not going to hide it. Let's be honest. You know, that's my buddy Luis Vasquez. Luis,
hey guys, how you guys? NFL. Keep Bill alive.
They're running everything through me, man. I got to get young real quick within like 10 days. So, yeah. Just wanted to throw that out.
All right.
So if I pass out, you guys know what it's from. It's not just because I'm happy to see mine.
No, it's the vitamin infusion you're going to get. In the first of all,
got it.
I've had it before, and first of all, I don't like the needle, so I got to look away. And second of all,
that's what's going on right this second.
Yeah, I hate that part. But it's cold in your veins. Like when I get it, and I feel it, I'm like, it's kind of cold. I was like,
Mama. Are we done yet? Oh my God. Oh, we're done. Oh, there's only one little thing sticking to my arm.
That's
my bicep.
That's it. You're full? All right. You're good to go?
Yeah, look at my eyes. I'm about to explode. Anyway, sorry about that.
You're getting hair back on your head. This youth serum's working.
Yes. Not just on my back anymore. It's on my head.
It's on your head. It's crawling up. It's crawling up. All right. So as you wince and get your IV shot. Okay. I just can't do the needle thing. I gotta look away.
I don't like it either. I feel like a little schoolgirl here.
Yeah, I just don't. At least you get the black bandage. They're not giving you the pink one.
No, I don't do pink. Panther pink for a, you know, an Artuda. Yes.
Yeah. No, I got you.
No way. By the way, our neighbor has a pink Hummer.
Is that the same guy who bought the TRX?
No, this guy bought Chris Angel's Hummer too. He's got like seven of them.
No,
it's a very strange area that I live in.
Yeah. All right. So, SEMA, Mike, tell us a little bit about your background, real quick, and then we'll jump into SEMA show. But let's talk about who's Mike Spagnuolo.
Yeah, well, Matt, thanks for letting me be here, and Goldberg, great to meet you as well. So,
it's a pleasure.
Yeah,
we always try to keep it fresh here.
I can see that. Yeah,
weird circumstances, we have you in here. But
I kind of expected a lot of things. I didn't expect to see you with a needle in your arm here.
That's
today,
right. So. Well, Chris is going to come in and jab you in the arm in a minute as well.
Exactly. You're next. Don't you know?
Yeah. Hey, I'm ready, baby.
Let's be perfectly honest. As much as we've got going on in the world today, as much as I've got going on, it's the only time I can sit sedentary for like 45 minutes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's the perfect time to get it done.
I'm with you. Yeah. So it's great to be here. I've been in the automotive industry since I was, can I remember, you know, I loved cars since I was 5 or 6 years old, and started with bicycles and motorcycles and then got into cars, and knew I wanted to be in this business. I, you know, Pep Boys, when I was in high school, I worked behind the counter.
Yeah, so did I.
Did you really?
Yeah, I worked Pep Boys.
Yeah, Pasadena.
I was in Florida at the time, but I was like 16, was working Pep Boys.
Yeah, got out of high school.
I was at McDonald's, sorry.
That's all right.
And started as the delivery driver at a Datsun dealership right out of high school and worked my way up to counterman and, you know, parts manager, and then went on into the import car parts business for many, many years, and got an opportunity to buy a little company and grow it and flip it, and done that now 5 times, bought and sold companies and worked them and made a good living at it. And you know, went to sell my last company 8 years ago now. I was on the SEMA board of directors at the time, and I was going to kind of retire and maybe do some stuff with the kids or slow down somewhat. And Chris Kirstein, our president of SEMA, said, you know, I got this idea for this garage idea and maybe helping members develop products and, you know, come give me 3 years, you know, come help me set this thing up. That was 8 years ago. And it's been a great ride. You know, it's cool to work on the inside at SEMA and see all the sausage is made probably. And as well as now, you know, we're doing the SEMA garage now in Detroit. The Diamond Bar one's been nuts. We're growing.
So let's talk about what SEMA Garage is. For those of you guys that don't know, it's so well. Goodbye.
Say goodbye to the nurse.
The nurse is leaving.
What's the name of your place?
So our name of our wellness facility is Prime Wellness and Performance here in the northwest side of San Antonio, Texas.
All right.
Boom.
All right. I'm going to come out there.
Yeah. Or come to California, one of the two.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
We could all use it.
So backing up a little bit, the SEMA organization, is an organization that a nonprofit organization that supports, you could explain it better than me, but basically supports the automotive world, supports the automotive aftermarket. Everything from paint to wheels and tires to turbos and superchargers, everything that we've gone to love and what we talk a lot about here in the space. It's the trade organization that supports all of that. And as part of that organization, they try to offer members benefits such as anything from a discounted group rate on shipping, you know, FedEx or UPS, right, to insurance programs and finance advice and stuff like that. And then they came up with this idea for SEMA Garage, a way for, I guess, to develop products is one thing. And then, of course, the missions thing is another. So explain SEMA Garage.
Yeah. So as you had it, I think, Matt, you should come to work for us. I mean, you could be a
great spokesperson. No doubt. Good job,
you do it better than I do. But we SEMA Garage is a product development center. So I've spent my life in product development, you know, developing widgets so, you know, to the marketplace. So the goal is to help over 3,000 manufacturers develop new product, get it into the marketplace, and do it in a highly engineered, you know, manner. So, you know, for example, the new Bronco was available 6 months ago to us. Ford worked with us to get it to our facility. And then we invited members in to develop products for it so that when that Bronco hits the marketplace, all those accessories are ready to go. You know, so you have everything from running boards to air intakes to whatever it might be, hundreds and hundreds of accessories. We work between the manufacturers and the OEs often to get those products to the marketplace. And it can be a brand new Bronco and it can be some new widget for a 69 Camaro.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, we have engineers on staff. We develop those products. We have CAD data. We have this FerroArm, you know, FerroArm.
To scan.
Yes, scan. So a CMM machine. We can, you know, I can scan up this bottle of water and scan it, get it into CAD data, look at it in the computer, modify it any way I want to, hit it to the 3D printer, print it out, and have an exact replica of what I want to build ready in my fingertips.
Yeah. So there's, it's a facility. It's literally a garage. It's got tools. It's got lift. It's got $2 million plus of equipment in there. And like you said, all of the technology. And let's just say it doesn't even have to be a small company. Any company developing products in the automotive aftermarket space. And I bring this up because those of you that are listening that are even thinking about doing some stuff like this, let's say you're working in your garage and you're thinking about a new company or a startup company. People ask me this kind of stuff all the time. How to get into this business, how to get in that business, anything from podcasting to product development, or somebody says, I've got an idea, I want to make a wheel or start a company and make, you know, this part or that part. This is where SEMA can help you. They've already invested a ton of money into this equipment. So instead of you trying to go out and buy it, you can go in and work with them and for a nominal fee, I guess.
Right.
Get access to this stuff and engineers to be able to work on developing some of your own products. But as you mentioned as well, is SEMA Garage has partnerships with the big automotive manufacturers as well, and you guys do this measuring session, right?
Yep.
And you can explain that. So
yeah, so you know, SEMA is owned by its members. It's a nonprofit. You know, we make our money from the SEMA show and from dues, and so we're really there just to reinvest our, you know, your money back into things that can help you grow your business. And so, you know, 3D printers, all those sorts of things are really owned by the members, including our emissions lab, which we can talk about in a second. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's working alongside those OEs. It's getting those products done and developed. So we get to see things way before they come out. I get accused of it being our playground a little bit
it is.
Too much, but it's cool, right? And there's, you know, there's lifts and there's hand tools and there's all those sorts of things. So if you were a brand new company and wanted to start something, we can help you get that product developed. We have a lot of know-how. We've got the engineers on staff so that you don't go through some of the mistakes, let alone we can help you bring a product to market so much quicker than you could do on your own.
Right.
So those tools
Yeah. I mean, to me, it sounds like it's not only is it great for everyone, but I mean, it's self-serving because you're ensuring that the SEMA show 6 months, 8 months later, after these
right.
measuring sessions, you know, have all those products in front of everybody as soon as humanly possible. And I don't, and there's no question it couldn't happen without those measuring,
opportunities. Yeah, these measuring sessions, we work with the OE. So, you know, for example, next week we'll have the new Ford Maverick in our facility.
Right.
You know, that truck probably won't be out to the
So the way that works is Ford will bring some engineers and send a car down, and then you guys invite any SEMA members down and say, we have the Ford Maverick here. We are allowed to take it apart, measure all the pieces. So any aftermarket company that wants to develop suspension pieces, fender flares, anything like that for it, everybody's there and sharing all of the data all at once. And the part I like about this is when I was in high school and I was doing things like ROTC and stuff, we had a thing called on-the-job training, which was a fantastic event you can do. You take some tests, you compete, and then you basically go to a summer camp. But that summer camp is you could pick the job you want, and you do it in real time for, you know, a week or two on an Air Force base or whatever. And the SEMA Garage, to me, is a version of on-the-job training. If you want to develop parts, and instead of outsourcing it to a company that's going to do the scanning and the 3D printing and stuff for you, you can go to the SEMA Garage and participate in that actually happening. So you can learn the process while it's happening, right? What a better way. There's no better way to start a business.
And it's a huge advantage for all these third parties, because even if they had the vehicle sooner than everybody else, they don't have all of these tools at their disposal right. that they can use, 3D printer, whatever it may be, like the garage.
Now, how has that evolved? How much CAD data do you guys get directly from the manufacturer even before the measuring session? It used to be, we need to get a car and measure it.
Yeah.
Now, it seemed like the automotive manufacturers are sort of embracing the aftermarket.
They are. It's it's great to be able to work alongside these OEs. So, you know, Ford, General Motors, FCA, along with some of the Japanese manufacturers on some of their vehicles, give us CAD data in advance. So we'll have tons of CAD data. We've got millions and millions of files. So, again, let's just say you were going to build a new suspension kit for your, you know, 2019 Camaro. You wanted to come up with a mm-hmm. new lowering kit. We have all that factory CAD data on file. So we can send you the file. You can do your alterations to, you know, change the suspension. You can send us that file electronically back to us. We'll 3D print the part for you. If we've got the vehicle in the garage, we'll stick it on the car. The technology now with 3D printing is so strong, you can literally drive the car or put it on the dyno whatever with this 3D printed part, right? And you know what you're going to do, and you know what you're going to get, both in simulation through CAD and through other software product tools before you build your first part. So, I mean, we've done, you know, it used to be it would take you 6-8 months to develop an air intake. We can bring a vehicle in, do the scanning or have the CAD data, 3D print the part, put it on the vehicle, and then even get it into the emissions lab and test the product and have the product out into the marketplace in a couple months' time.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. as awesome as the process sounds, let's all take into consideration this phrase COVID-19, right? So how has that put a wrench in what you guys offer, you know, over the past year.
You know, because we're a necessary facility, we were able to back open last July.
Oh, okay.
So we've been back in business. I got to tell you, manufacturers are developing product more than ever. The market in general is just way up. You know, people are staying home. They've been working on their cars. A lot of our manufacturers, you know, can't get enough raw goods is probably an issue.
Yeah, that's the issue.
But they're reporting, you know, great sales. So
everybody's numbers are up. I think it's going to correct a little bit. I mean, you know, project cars are going to get finished. Things are going to go, you know, kind of back to normal. It's going to be a different world, but a little bit, and things are going to settle a little bit. But it's nice to see that the automotive aftermarket world has grown quite a bit. In some instances, people are reporting 25% increases in sales for big companies, by the way. This isn't a small company doing $1 million a year, jump to $3 million a year. I'm talking about a company doing $80 million a year, jumping 25%. So, yeah. And also, I don't know, I kind of have peace of mind when I go into my garage and fiddle on the car a little bit. And, you know, when I set up my garage this past year, my warehouse over there, the Matt Cave, and started you know, getting tools organized, getting stuff organized, and being able to work on the engine a little bit, and you know, for the truck, and develop parts for both the truck and the car, the Mustang, which Mike and I have talked about a couple of times on the Supercharged brackets. We're still going to plan on doing that.
Really?
Actually, we talked about that months ago.
I think we talked about it a year ago.
Yeah, we talked about it a year ago before COVID hit. Gave me a little bit of more space to move into this. But so one of the things I want to talk about, though, is you mentioned that SEMA does emissions testing. This is super important right now. Bill, we've talked about before. Yes. You guys are developing your Goldberg's Garage power packs for cars, the supercharger kits and things like that. So the emissions testing is super important. EPA is cracking down. By the way, they're kind of being, I don't know, dicks about it. Like, they're cracking down in a violent way. They're like showing up with like SWAT teams and bulletproof vests just so they can kick open your door and go, give me your accounting. Like, give me your laptop.
Give me your catalytic converter.
Yeah, they're not even doing that. They're going, we heard you sold, you know, a tuning device that wasn't emissions legal. And everyone's sitting in the office going, you could have just called. I would have given you the data. You don't have to show up with a helicopter and a Humvee, you know, and a machine gun. Like, what are you? They're just trying to scare people. It's kind of a pain in the ass. By the way, talk about a waste of money and resources. This could have been done in a phone call and be like, hey, we just want to see what you guys are doing over there. Yeah, they make it seem like everyone's a freaking criminal. They're not. They're like, hey, how about
proven innocent?
That's right. Yeah. And time after time, though, they're coming back and going, we can fine you $160,000. And at the end, they're like, we don't really have much of anything here. So
the process.
Yeah. That's right. So the importance, though, of 50 state legality is higher than ever. Which is fine. We're making more and more emissions legal modifications to, you know, I would say legal in general, but the government only seems to care about emissions for some reason. But because we make good quality parts here, but that's an important part of what you guys actually. You guys have been doing the emissions lab for quite some time, but now it seems to be more important than ever.
We're running two shifts right now, and we're building a new lab in Detroit. But yeah, so if you develop any product that affects fuel or air, so take a supercharger, take an air intake, you know, take any sort of even cooler, it has to go through emissions testing. So the SEMA garage has a fully developed emissions lab. It's over $5 million just in the equipment sitting in that lab. And we help manufacturers from start to finish. So again, let's just say you're going to build a new air intake, you know, for the new Honda Civic. We work with you to not only develop that product and actually build the physical product, but then you can come into our lab. We help you with all the paperwork necessary with CARB and EPA standards.
Mm-hmm.
We fill out all that paperwork. We do all the testing in our lab. So we put the car on the dyno. We do the tailpipe emissions test. There's a series of tests that have to be gone through, and it's a couple of days worth of testing. We do all that testing for you, get your results. Hopefully the product passes. Submit that information to CARB which then you get a CARB EO.
Yeah.
So if you're developing any new product, of course, when you go to put that product on your vehicle, it should have a CARB EO. And that gets you not only California legal, but EPA standard legal. And that's a big business. We do it at a nominal cost for our members. We go through all the hassle and we do all the paperwork for free. I mean, there's a lot of work to all of this.
I got about 15 of those stickers all over my car, by the way.
Yeah. But that, you know, that keeps you in the clear.
Yeah.
And it's great for our membership. We've got a line backed up. We're running two shifts. We're about 3 months backlogged right now. We're spending several million dollars in a new 45,000 square foot facility in Detroit to open up a second lab and, you know, all-wheel drive dyno for emissions testing, as well as a horsepower dyno, you know, all those sorts of things, just to help our members get through the compliance processes so that you can sell these products in the street.
How long is the process of, I don't want to say developing a product, because that varies. It could be, you know, it could be an air filter. It can be a supercharger kit. So,
sure.
But when somebody has a product that they think is ready for testing and submission to CARB, how long is the process for that to typically take?
Yeah. So, you know, if we
get approved.
Yeah. Yeah. So the approval process, we've really worked closely with CARB to streamline that process. We're part of all of their hearings and processes and those sorts of things. You know, we used to hear stories of it taking up to 2 years. I mean, after you develop the product and after you tested it to get it through CARB, we work with them weekly. We have spreadsheets of every application we have in there. We work with them weekly. We know, you know, by engineer who's got the paperwork, and we help them push that paperwork through. We've gotten EOs now in as little as 90 days. There's the occasional that still takes 4, 5, 6, 7 months.
Yeah.
But we actually, you know, went before the California State Senate to help them get more staff. And, you know, that's the kind of things that we have to do. We could all sit and complain about the government taking so long to get things done. And
right.
All that sort of stuff. You know, we work alongside of those guys to help them help us. Nobody wants dirty air. Nobody wants to have that black eye that, you know, that says that, you know, we're developing products that are illegal. We work alongside of them, and yet EPA at times still comes and bashes our head. And, you know, it's just nuts.
Listen, this industry, we're not trying to trick anyone, all right? We're not trying to, like, we can make the performance parts that we want to make and have them perform the way we want them to perform and be emissions legal.
Yep.
We've got a lot of really smart guys in this industry. Yeah. But the biggest deterrent has always been time and money. If you're starting a company and you're developing a package, let's say a supercharger package, if you had to invest $50,000 in 2 years of time, you go out of business, right? You know, like you go out of business. So to bring that cost down to, I don't know what ultimately it's going to cost. Maybe it's $10,000. You know, if it's $10,000 and a few months, 3 to 6 months, now you can create a business plan around that.
Right.
You know? So,
the emissions testing is typically $6,000 to $10,000.
Yeah.
You know, and that can be a lot for a small guy, but it does keep you legal. And it does, you know, these fines can be, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah.
So it does keep you legal. You can still create horsepower. You can still do it in a legal manner. And so, you know, I never thought, you know, that I'd be on this side of the business.
Yeah.
You know, I was probably one of the guys, you know, in the 70s and 80s, you know, spewing the stuff out of my tailpipe. But, you know, now I'm on the other side helping manufacturers keep it clean. I guess we've all learned over the years, right?
Listen, that's the way the industry is going to survive is we just, like you said, just keep it clean. That's one of the big things look, every time there's a bad apple in the bunch, it kind of gets the government's attention and starts to ruin it for everybody. So this is why it's so important to have SEMA Garage be able to offer the services as affordable as possible, right? It's not a big money-making operation because it's a nonprofit. That's not how you guys make your money. It's the dues, the SEMA show. There's a couple of other things that go on.
Yeah, the garage actually operates at a loss. But you know, because we have money that comes in from other sources, we can reinvest that money on our members' behalf.
Yeah. That's good. It's a crazy business to run because coming from the businesses that you've run in the past, and now you get to report and go, hey, we reported a loss. Yeah. we're right on track. Yeah. We're right where we need to be.
It is different for sure. It is different.
We're right where we need to be.
If we break even, we're doing great. It's odd.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the RPM Act. Yep. If you guys have not heard of this before, being in the industry, all of the automotive manufacturers, racers and stuff, we've all been aware of it. We've been lobbying, voting, writing to politicians. And I know it's kind of an uphill battle to always ask people to do this type of thing and say, hey, you should reach out. But it actually is important. So the RPM Act is, and I'm paraphrasing, you can correct me on this, Mike, but the government is basically saying you can't buy any new car. You can't buy a brand new charger and turn it into a dedicated racing car.
Bullshit. What?
Exactly.
They said you do not have the right to do that. You emissions legal or not is... That's one issue. But turning it into a racing car, they're saying you can't do that. Now, I'm sure they're going to say it's an emissions thing, but we have millions and millions. I don't know how many millions of cars are on the road today, on the streets today, versus maybe, I think I read, somewhere around 190,000 dedicated racing cars, off-road racing cars in this country. Less than 200,000 racing cars compared to the tens of millions.
281 million was the last number.
281 million. There you go. 281 million versus less than 200,000. And the government's
saying...
You're
not supposed to put a helmet in a modern-day car either.
That's right. No. Yeah. But listen...
Glad that doesn't happen.
We're not even talking about, you know, Speedcore, the Ring Brothers, building a car for the SEMA show. Because, by the way, most of the crate engines those guys are using are emissions legal, right? So we're not even talking about that. We're talking about you taking your Charger and turning it into a 1,500-horsepower twin-turbo drag racer with a parachute on the back.
I already did.
I know you did. It's done. And the government is saying you're not going to be able to do that. Am I right?
That's it. You know, the EPA
has
been...
Got cats on it.
Yeah, I know. That's the point. But
EPA's been around for 50 years, and for 45 years, they've never, you know, done anything against race cars. But about 5 years ago, they started enforcing against this idea. And the idea is that if you have a – let's just take your Fox Body Mustang.
Yeah.
It's got emission control devices on it. If you wanted to take your Fox Body Mustang and make it into a weekend street, you know, drag racer, if you want to take it out to Irwindale or any of these tracks around here – and go drag racing, it's illegal because you have taken the vehicle, which was originally made for the street, and you've disconnected or removed the emissions control devices that were on that vehicle and put racing devices on it and bolted those on, put it on a trailer and taken it out to the racetrack. You've defeated the emission control devices that were meant for that vehicle, and therefore it's illegal.
So what they're saying is when it comes to racing, there's no more, let's just call it sportsman racing, because there's no way to convert a vehicle. The only way you can race is if you build a ground up dedicated racing vehicle. If you're, you know, if you're Bobby Ray Hall, Graham Ray Hall, and you from a ground up develop an Indy car, you can race it. If you're Caps and you're developing your dragster, you're building the chassis from scratch, you can do it. But
James,
but if you want to
avoid last TJ last week.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. If you're with Hagen and Hagen's like, jump in my funny car, I'm like, great, you better not have started with a stock car. You know, because it's not gonna happen, right?
It is. And it's crazy if you think about all that grassroots racing. I mean, how do you get started drag racing? How do you become a Caps, right? You started with a Camaro that you took off the street and started drag racing.
Yeah.
So all that grassroots racing, name it in circle track, name it in drag racing, name it in any automotive sport, right? SCCA, any of that stuff, that becomes illegal. It's beyond me. And then you think about all the parts manufacturers that are making those parts. You think about what could happen to racetracks. You think about all those things that happen because grassroots racing becomes illegal.
Listen, if you're just you're just getting into racing. You've got yourself a spec Miata, and it's yeah. it's your dedicated race car for the weekends, and you can't do that anymore. Yeah. It's done. They're going to say no.
And EPA is just assuming that your parts are illegal. And until you can show that they aren't illegal, you're presumed guilty. So they, like you said, they'll walk in and slap a fine on you for several hundred thousand dollars. Little mom and pop shops.
Is the issue they think parts are illegal, or they think you're also going to drive that car on the street if you make a dedicated racing car?
Yeah, they do think that those parts will end up on the street, and we get that. But again, that's why we have all these other services to help make sure that your parts are built and legal. And, you know, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater on this deal. You know, they want to make it all illegal, and, you know, there's better ways.
Right. It's not an all or none deal. There's a compromise here that could work. So explain.
So
to
when
us,
SEMA starts?
Yeah. Well, all right. So we'll get to that next. But let yes. me just we'll end it with this. What should people do regarding the RPM Act?
Yeah, we really need everybody's help. This has got to be a grassroots effort. So we're asking you to go to SEMA.org, or you can go to our SEMA.org is probably the best place, and you'll see where we have the RPM Act, and we're asking you to sign up and to send letters to your local congressmen and senators and those sorts of things. It really has to come from this industry, or we're going to get legislated out of business. It's really a scary thought. You know, look, I never, you know, you see these sorts of things and you're like, oh yeah, sure. I'm telling you, this thing is scary and it's serious.
It is. It's very easy for us to ignore it and say, I don't really need to do anything because everybody else is doing something. This is not one of those cases. We actually do need to do something. So if you go to SEMA.org, as you said, right on that main page, there's a big red banner there, and you click on it, and it has the form that you can fill out that sends the notice to your local government person saying, you know, this is what we think. This is what you should do. It's all basically filled out for you. You just had your name and everything, right? So it's very simple. If it takes more than 60 seconds, I would be surprised.
So it's currently in the U.S. House of Representatives, the bill, and we hope to get it to the Senate here pretty soon. But we just really need everybody's help on this one. This thing is scary.
All right. So go to SEMA.org. Please check that out. And all right, so we're going to get into the SEMA show. Let me tell you about our friends at Geico. Do you own your home or rent your home? Well, either way, we know it can be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And we know it's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, SEMA show. Are we doing it?
Oh, that. Yeah. Oh, that little thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's on, baby. It's on.
It's on. Are you sure?
It's on. We're really
excited. What's the
first day? It's November 2nd. November 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So
okay.
We'll see you there, baby.
Now, explain what the landscape's going to look like. I heard a lot of things. You know, not a lot of things. It's just some things are going to be changing. One being the expansion into that new West Hall. Yes. Gives you a lot more square footage under roof with some air conditioning, hopefully. and they talked about widening the walkways in between the booths. But my question for that is, and this is more of the insider, sort of inside baseball portion of it, is there's a lottery system and there's seniority for people and they have certain booth sizes. If you're Edelbrock or B&M or GM or Ford, there's no widening of the walkways because you cut into their booth space. So what I'm hearing is some of the smaller, like first timer booths at the ends, the 10 by 10s and the 10 by 20s, they're not going to get into those rooms. And
yes. So we did spread things out. You know, we were going to do that anyway with the new West Hall coming in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we now have a couple hundred thousand more square feet.
Okay.
And so, yes, we did relay out. Yes, we did widen some aisleways, due to COVID. So we've spread out now over more buildings.
Yeah.
But, I would tell you that we are 85% of space that we had in 2019. So the pent-up demand for manufacturers to be there and to have their displays there is incredible, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's not including, of course, we don't have overseas manufacturers coming. We don't have people coming from China and Canada and Europe because they can't come in.
That's right. So there's no international travel happening with SEMA this year.
Yeah, not as of right now. So not only just the travel of those guys, but their booths, those manufacturers aren't here. So we're at 85% of our 2019 numbers with no overseas manufacturers coming in.
Yeah.
So, we know that manufacturers are coming. We know there's pent-up demand. We have spread it out across more aisleways and more.
You and I were there for Barrett Jackson, and that room is 600,000 square feet in that West Hall.
And we're going to fill it.
You're going to fill it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, there won't be as many as outside displays and tents as there has been before, but that's a good thing. And so bring your walking shoes.
It's going to be a hall.
Yep.
Yeah. I want to say South Hall to the new West Hall is, it's going to be a 30-minute walk.
Pack a lunch.
It's never been convenient to go from one hall to the next. What's another 100 yards?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
No, I get it. Like, I always go and plan it out of like, all right, I'm doing my meetings in this hall one day and in this hall the next day. There's always a bit of running around.
That never worked.
I try to get it done, and there's always a lot of running around. I'll look at it and go, all right, I'm supposed to talk to somebody at 12 to 12:20 in North Hall, and the next meeting is like, oh, South Hall.
That's an hour.
Yeah. And I was like, when you think about it, you're like, oh, okay, you can make it in 17 minutes, not with 160,000 people in your way.
It's crazy. It's Old Home Week on top of that, so everybody wants to see this. You can imagine this year. I mean, some of us haven't seen each other in 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's always Old Home Week, so you see all your buddies and you bench race and you do, talk about your car projects and business and all those sorts of things. It's going to be a great time.
Now, there's always, from our side, right, from our side being somewhat in the entertainment version of the SEMA show, doing interviews and live shows and podcasts and stuff, What's the general consensus on that? It feels like there's going to be some thought put into signing events and meet and greets and podcasts. Yeah. I think we're pretty much scaling back or eliminating a lot of that. Anything that's going to cause a line?
It's hard to say. I mean, we're going to go by the Clark County Commission and what their rules and regulations will be at that time. 2 weeks ago in Las Vegas, there were no mask requirements.
Yeah.
Last Friday, they put a mask requirement back in.
Yeah.
And so, like all of us, this thing is ebbing and flowing. Who knows what it'll look like in November, but we'll go by whatever those state and county rules and regulations are.
I mean, let's be honest, Matt.
Yeah.
SummerSlam is the 21st, and there are already rumblings about it being canceled. Yeah.
Canceled or masked? I guess both.
Canceled or moved.
Or moved. Which is coming up soon. I already got my hotel.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah. Yeah, but Vince isn't paying for mine.
He ain't paying for mine.
Yeah, probably not. He's probably not. Is it safe to assume that the SEMA show, there's going to be a mask mandate? Because it seems like we really want the show to happen. Everyone's investing a lot of time and energy and money. And by the way, a booth is not inexpensive.
Sure.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Again, we're working between the Clark County Commission, the Southern Nevada Health District, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We're having to deal with all those guys, right?
Mike's got notes, by the way. He's got to read off all these government agencies.
I know all that off the top. I'm a car guy,
Something he's never had to read in his life, going, we got to read with this guy.
Your basis, Mike.
Ask me about the Solex carburetors on my Datsun.
We can talk about that all day long. We don't need any notes.
So all that, all that's a moving target right now, right? It's looking very good that it's going to come off. It looks like, we don't know about mask requirements at the time.
Right.
We know that, a lot of people are getting vaccinated. It's November, we all thought we'd be completely out of this by now, right? And that's why so many things let loose. We're seeing some tightening up. We're seeing a streak. It depends on the reports you read. some of these reports are saying, yeah, we're in this streak of an uptick and it should fall back off by September, October. You know, with the pundits are.
Who knows?
It's all over the board, right?
I might have missed this. I'm sorry if I did, but you guys were both at Barrett Jackson.
Yep.
Barrett Jackson had a different set of rules than the city. So, or the casino, is SEMA the same way, or will you go by county?
Right. So Barrett Jackson's rules were the city and county rules, and then they added a little bit of their own, not in regards to mask mandate or attendance numbers. They just went through this effort of cleaning, especially after the event. They still flew their drones over and did their sanitation.
But it didn't affect the event itself.
It didn't. No. As a matter of fact, I think overall, although the numbers and the auction numbers were good, I think the attendance numbers were a little lighter than what everybody expected and hoped for. So now, that was a function not similar to SEMA. That was a function of them changing venue. When they were at MGM, you can get foot traffic and sell a ticket at the door. When it's 118 degrees outside and you're at the convention center, literally 118 degrees, there's no foot traffic.
Yep.
You know, we're parking in the parking lot going, oh man, how do I get to the door? Because, you know,
I was in the hotel across the street and I broke a sweat just walking across
the
street.
Oh my God, it was hot. It was definitely hot.
Is Allegiant Stadium outdoors?
Allegiant Stadium is.
Is it open?
I think it has a top that closes. So I think they could close it and turn the air on.
Please, dear God.
I hope they do.
Make a note to have them do that now.
Yeah, right?
You know, loved it.
Barrett Jackson, that was the first event, too. That was the first big
public event.
Public event. And I thought they did pretty well considering. I mean, that was a big risk, right? To do it in June, right after all the mandates were starting to get lifted. You know, people are jonesing to get out. I mean, I'm sure you've been to a few Cars and Coffees and I mean, it's nuts right now. The pent up demand, people are jonesing to get out and show their new builds and just, you know, congregate.
Be humans again.
Yeah.
Okay. So SEMA is, their rules are basically going to be whatever is demanded by them, by the local officials.
Right.
And they could say mask, they could say, it's going to be tough. If the event's happening, there could be mask mandates, but there probably can't be an attendance restriction. You know, if 100,000 people show up, they're showing up. You know, like that's a little bit kind of tougher. Like, listen, it's up to everybody who intends on going to decide if they're going to go or not. And I want to say the numbers previously have been somewhere around the 165,000 range over the course of the week, total media attendance, you know, everything. So I'm not sure if you're going to hit that number. I think some people will just say, I'll just skip a year. And some people will say it is important for my business to go.
Yeah. Early registration numbers are at our highest ever. But it, you know, it could tail off. It could be people register and don't show, but I got to tell you right now, it's looking like it's going to be a party.
Listen, I enjoy the event. It's one of my favorite events. I actually just love and going. Well, the two things is one is catching up with friends in the industry, especially a lot of the East Coast friends that I don't get to see all the time. Right, our friends at Comp Cams and Holly and so forth. And then two, I'm a geek on parts. I love to go and see all of the parts and find out what's new. I'm sort of an encyclopedia of aftermarket parts. And I kind of like that. But I will tell you, the other event that we do, industry event, is the SEMA MPMC event. This is best described as a speed dating event. It's the event where the media, journalists, you know, the magazines, the books, and now the blogs and the YouTubers or whatever, if you have project cars and an audience, you have an opportunity to meet with up to about 40 or 50 or so manufacturers and say, this is what I plan on doing for the year. Can we get you guys involved? And it's you're not selling advertising. You're just meeting with manufacturers on working on deals for parts so you can put focus on those parts as part of your project built, right? So it's the content. Back in the day, Carcraft magazine, Hot Rod magazine, this is the event they would sit down with and go, what do you guys have that's new coming up? Because we want to build this Dodge Dart or we want to build this Camaro. And somebody goes, we've got new EFI system. We've got new engine swap kits, you know, oil pan kits for the, you know, that work on this car. And they go, okay, let's make that work. Let's do it together. So that's basically what the event is. And the speed dating aspect of it is 50 manufacturers show up in this hotel, and every 30 minutes, they basically ring a bell, and you dart off into the next meeting. The manufacturers stay put, and as media, I would haul ass from one room to the next, to the next, to the next. This year, it was a virtual version of it. Now, I'm just going to say this out loud. The virtual SEMA show that was happened for last year, that sucked. Yep. Okay. I didn't even understand what was going on. It was a couple of press releases. It was like a few press releases on a website. That was useless, and it made me sad. It brought a tear to my eye because I couldn't find the product information that I wanted to. Whatever happened, the technology basically just got rebooted or a new vendor came in for the MC event, and it was fucking cool. And it worked. I would even go so far to say I wouldn't mind if that was the new normal. If I can do that MPMC event virtually, it literally was the same hotel in the meeting rooms, and I would click in. There was a few little flaws, like sure, you can jump into somebody's meeting unannounced, and people are like, "What are you? Who are you?" And everyone's on camera, and you're like, "What are you doing here?" There's a little bit of that, but that software, the way that worked, especially the first time, I think it was really good. It was 98% there, where the SEMA version was 2% there.
You know, we had to put that software together in less than 90 days.
I mean, yeah,
we had to go from having our SEMA show, and in August we're told we're not having it. And by the way, can you put a virtual show together and make it work?
It was an effort.
But, you know, I should mention that the SEMA show and, of course, MPMC, it's a B2B business, right? It's not a consumer show. So you have to be in the industry. You have to – we match buyers and sellers. And I think that's still got to be done in person. I still – you know, I subscribe to the fact that it's like – you know, people buy from people, and it's not just product. You got to have a good product, but I've always believed that it's that relationship as well, right? And to see and touch a new bumper or a new supercharger or a new air intake, and to see and hear from the guy directly, and to understand and to be able to ask questions, to see it live, there's just still nothing like it.
Honestly, I agree with that as well. You know, Bill and I started a hard seltzer company this past year.
Right.
And, you know, we've got consultants and specialists that are working on it. And, you know, the guy would call me up and he'd say, hey, we're talking to a manufacturer you know, he's in Colorado and he doesn't think he can do it. We think it's a good fit. And I said, great, let me talk to him. I called him up and I said, I'll be there in 48 hours. And I flew out there and we got our product made. And that was it. I said, listen, come out. I'm going to come out. I'm going to tour your facility. Let's have a talk. I want to tell you about the company. I want to tell you about the passion of the company. Let's go out to dinner. Let's have it, you know, and let's not make this deal with an 18-minute phone call.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how we get it done. I totally agree.
My dad was a bartender at a downtown LA restaurant, and he developed so many relationships with so many people over the years. And I always, you know, it's kind of that where everybody knows your name, right?
Yeah.
You'll go to the local place and the food may only be okay and all that. When you walk in, they say, Matt, how are you? And how's the car and all that? You'll do that every day over some stuffy restaurant. And so it is that relationship thing. And I think that still has to be done in person. I still think that people buy from people, and you share your passion, you share your product, and, you know, you make the deal.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. So we're We're pretty much running out of time here. Mike, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Pleasure, Mike.
Yeah, thanks. So great to meet you.
I think we covered a lot of information today. We've been talking about it for a couple of months now, going, we got to get someone from SEMA in here. And I appreciate you coming in and everything that you guys are doing at the SEMA organization. The website is SEMA.org. If you're in this industry and you're not a member, you absolutely should sign up. By the way, it's like $100 a year
depending on the manufacturer and size,
but it's well worth it. Even if you just start digging into the benefits of whatever, even on just help on shipping costs and insurance and stuff, it's really pretty good. The SEMA show is November 2nd through the 5th. I will be there. I think Bill's going to be there. We're working out the details for it. We're going to hopefully come back with a bunch of content, as we always do. I'd love to still run around and get some.
I get to put a costume on for Halloween this year.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's right.
And SEMA Ignited is Friday night for the consumer side of this thing. So as the cars roll out, we actually have...
Where's it going to be?
You know, I wish I could tell you.
I don't know where it's going to be because you took the parking lot.
Yeah, we did take the parking lot.
So SEMA Ignited, by the way, if you're out in Vegas or even if you're planning... Let's say you're planning a Vegas weekend and a thought would be SEMA Ignited is the car show open to the public Friday afternoon, which means all of the coolest car builds in the SEMA show in the convention center that you can't see, they all fire up their cars. They go outside and they do a big car show.
Those are the ones that can fire up their cars.
The ones who can fire up their cars. I've never made the SEMA Ignited event. That's right. I've never made it to the event. I've had cars there. And they do a big car show. The first year was funny because you're not allowed to have fuel in your car, only a couple drops. And then it was like, fire up your car. We're going to go to the link. And everyone's like, how are we going to get there? And then cars are overheating. They're running out of gas. And then they said, we're going to do it out front. So they had the little parade. But you can get a ticket to that event to see SEMA Ignited. So if you're going to come out for a weekend in Vegas, come in Friday around noon. Go to SEMA Ignited, see all the cool cars, and then stay for the weekend while we all are burnt out and traveling home.
Yeah, that's right.
So check that out as well. You can follow us at carcastshow.com. We appreciate that. And Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Give them a follow. See what's going on with the car projects. All kinds of cool stuff. Hit the website again for the new merch. Where you're selling your shirts?
Bunkerbranding.com.
Bunker Branding. Get the new Goldberg's Garage stuff.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, follow me at Moderator. And we love for you guys to follow us at Drink Bravago. That's the website, drinkbravago.com, and our social media. We've got our deals in place. We're building the website, and we're going to be able to sell the product online and ship it to 29 states. We're hoping to get that done in about a month, maybe beginning of September-ish, we'll have that up and running. So if you go to the website, drinkbravago.com, simply sign up with your email, and we'll keep you informed as how these things roll out. You're going to love it. It's fantastic. So, guys, thank you so much. Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.